You're listening to the Live, Love, Engage podcast. On today's show, learn how you can use daily emails to turn your email list into a cash register. Stay tuned. I am Gloria Grace Rand, founder of The Love Method and author of the number one Amazon bestseller, Live, Love, Engage, How to Stop Doubting Yourself and Start Being Yourself. In this podcast, we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically so you can create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. Welcome to Live, Love, Engage. Namaste, and welcome to another edition of Live, Love, Engage. And I am really excited about today because I've got a gentleman here who's who I've been following for several years. I've invested in one of his courses, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But first off, I want to welcome Mark. Boy, I'm almost messing up your name, Mark Mawinney, to Live, Love, Engage.
Hi, thanks for having me, Gloria. And it's a weird name, so it's not exactly Miller or Morrison or something like that. It's you're close enough. Mawinney, I've heard McWiney, Mahoney.
Oh dear.
Yeah. You're close.
I knew it. I think I was just stumbling over doing the Moss syllable for some reason twice. I don't know why, but oh well. Anyway, well, let me tell everyone out there who's listening, and if you're watching this on YouTube, just who Mr. Mawinney is. He's a lifelong entrepreneur who helps coaches get more clients without paid advertising, and he achieves this with his coaching programs. He has his own podcast called Natural Born Coaches. He's got a Facebook group called The Coaching Jungle and his exclusive hard copy newsletter called Secret Coach Club. He's also been a speaker at events like Social Media Marketing World, frequently makes media appearances, and contributes to entrepreneur.com. And I know, as I mentioned just a second ago, how I came into your sphere was when you were doing some trainings on how to grow your Facebook group without paid advertising. And it was a really good course. And I was just curious, I wanted to start off asking you a little bit about whether you still think Facebook groups are actually viable, because I noticed that recently I'm getting invited to join groups that are on other platforms, like 90 Networks was one. I just actually realized that that's what I got into. So what's your opinion about that?
Yeah, I mean, there is some talk out there. It's been probably going on for a few years now that Facebook groups are on the way out, and, you know, to get off there and go somewhere else like Mighty Networks or different communities. If anything, Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg signaled that he's going to be putting more into groups. The one thing I will, in the interest of being totally open, full disclosure, being an email guy, one of the things that I appreciate about emails that I own that list and it can't get taken away from me. And of course, with Facebook groups or a lot of other social media, you know, you could get deplatformed like that. And then, oh, geez, what am I going to do? So while I'm a big fan of Facebook groups, I certainly don't advocate only doing a Facebook group. I mean, at the end of the day, I think everyone should have an email list because there's definitely control there. You're not building something on rented land like you are on some of these other platforms. Just yesterday, a friend of mine, Facebook friend of mine has a YouTube channel and he'd build it up to thousands of people and he got it removed just like that over something that wasn't even terribly controversial, by the way. It was something that was pretty, wasn't exactly Joe Rogan stuff, you know, people petitioning him, and his YouTube channel is gone in an instant. So it can happen.
Wow. Yeah. It is a little crazy. And I know that when I've done presentations in the past with small business owners, I've always emphasized the fact that you want to drive people to your website. That's where you want people to go. Mm. And as you say, you know, then you can engage with them through email. People always say that email is dead, but it's still, you know, absolutely a powerful way to, number one, to stay in communication with people who are either clients or prospects, but also people who, well, it gives you an opportunity to be able to market to them. And that's really what I know, one of the things I wanted to focus on today is that you send out emails every day. And I know a lot of small business owners are like, how often do I have to send an email? You know, it's once a week. Is that okay? But you're doing them every day. So can you share a little bit about what your theory is behind that and how that benefits other small business owners if they were to model that strategy?
For the record, anyone who's thinking it's crazy, I had those same thoughts before I started doing it back in 2016 when I began doing daily emails. So you're not alone. I thought it was nuts. I thought everyone would unsubscribe. They would hate me. They would send death threats and it would be awful. I'm not one of the people who you see a lot of gurus who are talk about the nurturing sequence, for example, that you send an email, 50 of them before you even mention that you're in business, you know, which I think is kind of silly. You know, people are on your list because they want help with something. Don't be afraid to sell to them. But also, I just don't think it's frequent enough if you do it like everyone else, where you email maybe once a week, maybe it's every 2 weeks. Some people have heard of once a month. People are so have distractions hitting them and voices from all over the place. Is that going to get the desired effect? Probably not. You know, when you're in their inbox every single day, you have a much greater chance of breaking through and having them get to know, like, and trust you, which you should be shooting for in business. So you have to take the approach not being too sensitive. You are going to lose a lot of people at the beginning, probably. Not everyone, though. But anyone that you lose with your daily practice probably weren't going to buy anyways, and it's better just to lose them. I would much rather have a smaller, tighter list that you have a better relationship with because you're emailing them daily, building that relationship, instead of a larger list that you're only talked to sporadically because you're afraid of it. It's kind of like dogs or certain animals can sense fear. My theory is email subscribers can sense fear from the person who's sending the emails. I do believe they can pick up on that energy. So I don't know if you've seen this, Gloria, but I've seen this before when I'm on a list. The person will maybe hasn't emailed the list in like 6 months or a year, and they send a very apologetic email like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, I haven't emailed, I should have been doing better. And they're beating themselves up like they killed the person's dog or cheated on them with their spouse or something. And it's like, yeah, you can just send the email and say, hey, you haven't heard from me much, but you're going to hear from me a lot more frequently going forward. Then you move on. You don't have to fall all over yourself and apologizing and crying about it. Like, that's fearing your list, and it's a little too much. So there, my rant's over.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think I have done that because every so often I've wound up, something has happened and I've neglected my list, even though I preach to the choir. So, and telling, you know, like I say, my clients, you know, do this more often. And I have done it, but I think I don't think I have been, you know, horrible, but I think I have done just briefly, hey, I'm really sorry. And here's the news, you know, as opposed to that. But I want to ask you, because I know, because I can hear people out there going, okay, fine. I'll take your premise that I need to email my list every day. What the heck am I going to talk about? Because I know that that's what they're probably wondering about. So how do you either come up with content or is there a, how do you possibly come up with content to be able to send people every day?
Well, the easy answer, I have a cheat sheet, or it's an infographic if you want me to provide it, if you want to put it on the show notes page. But basically, it's a content creation machine infographic. So how to become a content creation machine. And there are certain ways. One of them is I tell stories from my life. And I'm a middle-aged guy from Atlanta, Canada. I'm not exactly the world's most interesting man. I'm not doing, like, you know, running with the bulls or race car driving or skydiving every day or anything like that. And so there's stories from my life that I could turn into lessons or things that can help my people. Stories from my client's life. I always keep confidentiality in mind, of course. Things that I am watching, you know, it could be a series, a movie, something like that. Something stands out, I jot that down so I don't forget it. Things that I'm reading, you know, blogs, things on social media, stuff like that, books. I'm one of those guys that highlights my book and I write it, you know, mark it up. And if anyone's a librarian or whatever, they probably think, oh my God, that's horrible. But I dog ear it. I beat the crap out of my books because I get a lot from them. But if I'm ever stuck, I could go to my bookshelf, pull out a book, and there's a highlighted passage that can get the creative juices flowing. So, I mean, those are a few places. I also like to get ideas. I mentioned social media. If I'm ever stuck, I'll go to my Facebook group, The Coaching Jungle, scroll down the wall. There's lots of questions there, people looking for help with things. I'll answer it in an email. True story, I was once in someone else's group. I was stuck on what email I was going to send the next day. And somebody, no word of a lie, he had commented on that group's wall and he said, does anyone know how you can pull your own tooth safely? Because he didn't have the money to go to a dentist or whatever. And I turned that into content where talking about coaches, because that's who I service, trying to build their businesses DIY, you know, not get any help or whatever. And I tied it in with that. Not to mock, I didn't say the guy's name or make fun of him because he didn't have money for dental work, but I just said basically don't be like this guy with your business where you're trying to do something because it could be a bloody mess. Basically, so there's an idea that came from a Facebook group.
I love that. And that is a really great analogy too, because yeah, you need to have get some expert help to be able to pull your tooth. You really don't want to do this yourself unless you're, you know, 5 years old and you're doing the baby tooth. That's okay.
Yeah, you don't want to tie the string to the door and then slam the door. And yeah, it's no. Probably not good. But the more that you write these emails, it'll get easier. So when I first started doing it back in 2016, my first emails were probably taking an hour to write, you know, at least. Now I can fire one off really quickly, probably in 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes tops. But that's because I've written thousands of them over the years. So you're building your content creation muscle, just like you're going to the gym and building muscle if you're working out. Same thing with content creation. It will get easier, but you just have to stick with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I found sometimes for me, it's like, is that I will sometimes get inspired, also oftentimes like in the morning, and I'll come up with an idea and I'm like, ooh, let me just like really get this out now. And yeah, rather than, you know, putting it off and then trying to come back to it later in the day going, what was that idea I had? Do you find that like if you kind of like strike when the iron's hot, as they say, when you get inspired, does that help you?
Yeah, I mean, there's days that I feel like Bradley Cooper's character in Limitless. Remember when he took the pill? He was the author that struggled to write his novel, even though he had the advance and he couldn't write it. He took the pill and then he cranked out a novel in a day or whatever. Yeah. So there's times when it's just flowing. I'm in flow and the words are just flying out. And then there's other times like I feel like I'm coming off that high from that NZT48 or whatever from Limitless. And I'm like, I can't, it's just not working for me. That's those times I step away from the laptop. But to answer your question, when I'm in that flow, I make sure I ride the wave as much as possible. So there's been times I've mentioned to my fiance, I'm a morning person. Usually I like getting it out before the day gets away from me. But there's been a second wind that comes in the evenings often, and we're set to like settle down, watch Netflix or something. And I'm like, hey babe, like I'm really flying. I've written, you know, weeks worth of emails. I'd like to write another week or so. Can you just wait, you know, another hour or two? I want to keep doing this. And, there's those times I want to capture it while it's still there with it. Have the limitless pill, so to speak, figuratively. And so I would say you're smart to know when you're most creative because that's what you should be doing. Try to time it around that peak creativity hour or hours.
Absolutely. Now, how do you, I know I'm on your list and I've seen the emails and I see in particular one thing you do, but to tell our viewers out there and listeners out there, how do you actually then use those daily emails as a way to be able to, sell your courses for, you know, for instance, or, you know, get people to sign up to a webinar? What is one thing that you're doing in there consistently that would help that?
Well, from being on my list, you could probably tell I'm not really big on the whole hyperbole in the internet marketing space. You know, we've all been on the list where people are using tons of capitalized words and they got all these exclamation points. And it sounds like the guy with the sham wow thing or whatever with the Home Shopping Network infomercials. And it's like, I absolutely hate copied and pasted templated type fake stuff. So the crazy concept is I write like I talk, you know, I just be myself. But I always try to tell a story or give some sort of short lesson. And then it transitions to not an arm twisting call to action, but just to a call to action. So I might tell a story like we just mentioned about the do-it-yourself dental work. And then I might say, by the way, I help hold coaches' hands to get their businesses rolling without pain and stress. Learn more here, you know, or check out my new XYZ program here. That's all it is. It's a really quick, clean transition over to it. And I always follow the rule. There's a, I believe his name's Josh Burnoff. I hope I'm right. He wrote a book called Writing Without Bullshit. And he had an iron imperative in there. And he says that treat the reader's time as more valuable than your own. So I always ask myself, if a reader like Gloria, you're taking 1 or 2 minutes out of your day to read my email, to open it up, I want to make sure that you're at least getting something from it. But I'm not doing like hard teaching where I'm like giving all the stuff from my program or stuff behind closed doors in there, because people don't usually value what they're getting for free and people pay for that stuff. So I give them a nugget, but then they're going to have to go further and invest in whatever I'm offering to get the rest of it.
Well, and that is the perfect segue for my next question, because I know one of the things that I mentioned in your intro is that you actually send out a hard copy newsletter, not a digital one to read on the email. You actually mail a document physically to someone's home. Why did you decide to start doing that?
People were probably thinking, oh, you can actually mail things nowadays. Yeah, yes. Really. Believe it or not, the post office is still out there. But so why did I do it? I guess it sounds very strange in 2022 to have a digital newsletter. It was strange back in 2017 when I launched it, because we're right at the 5-year mark right now. I look at trying to do things different than most of the people. Like Dan Kennedy's talked about it. Look at what 99% of your industry is doing. Do the exact opposite. So you're not going to get lost in the crowd. But I actually myself had subscribed and still subscribe to several hard copy newsletters. And I always found that I got more from those. It soaked in better. I went back to them. I got more from the hard copy ones than a digital one. Like, how many times have you downloaded something, a free report, a PDF or whatever, and it gets lost in the junk that's on your desktop, you know, screen or whatever. And you're like, oh, I'll get back to it. Then you totally forget about it. So for me, I just think it's cool. I like a hard copy one. I've had subscribers tell me that when it arrives that day, they rip it open. They're marking it up with their highlighters, their pens, and they're keeping it on their desk for the month until the new one comes out. They go back to it. And I think that's pretty cool. So that's a long answer to why I do it.
Well, I do think it is smart, because it is, it's why I still like subscribing to a couple of different magazines, because I like to physically actually read something, and you're right. And then I wind up saving it. And if I need to refer to it a later time, I've got it, because yeah, my computer to try to find old files or something like that, it's a disaster. It takes me, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm wasting time searching for something when I could have just like gone to my, you know, bookcase and, you know, pulled out a folder and then read it. So,
well, I mentioned I subscribed to some hard copy newsletters myself, and there's one of them that I've been a subscriber since 2016. And every month when it comes in, I read it, learn from it. I get the hole puncher, punch holes, and it goes into a binder. And I now have a couple of these huge binders. If my house was on fire, now I shouldn't say it'd be the first thing I'd save. I hope I save some pictures of my son and some other things that are in there. But one of the things that I would save would be those newsletters, because I don't have digital copies anywhere. I went in once because Gary Halbert, the prince of print, one of the top copywriting guys of all time, rest in peace, but his family had made his newsletter available. He wrote one in the late 80s, early 90s, I believe. Mm-hmm. And I went in and I printed, I forget, there's like 1,200 pages. And they're in a couple big binders. And I'm actually going through them again now. Bear with me. This is, we'll do a little demonstration. This is the first binder of Gary Halbert's print newsletter, which I'm going through right by my desk.
That is a really, really thick book.
If it falls on me, it's going to knock me out. It's on top of my desk here. That's only one. There's actually two of those large binders. I killed a forest printing them up, but it's very valuable, you know. And if it was digital, actually, I do have the digital copy, and I don't look at the PDF. I look at the hard copy with it. So I'm all about doing things different. But, you know, for some people, they prefer to do digital. I find mine this way works best, where mine's not cheap. You know, it's expensive. $97 a month. month, or it's $9.97 a year. Now, some people say, oh, I'll do a digital one that's $19 a month or whatever. I don't really want to play in that world. You know, I'd rather people pay more and then they take it serious and they put what they learn into action, as opposed to just paying peanuts for it. And, you know, I always say it, you know, there's a lot of people in my world, they're the coaching industry, that are freeple and cheaple. They want stuff that's free or cheap. I don't really want to service those people. I want people who are have skin in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I know my husband subscribes to a lot of financial newsletters that are like that, and they do, and they charge a pretty penny for them, yeah. But he gets a lot of value out of them. So I think I like that. I wanted to ask you a little bit of, how did you get started? How did you get into becoming a coach and an entrepreneur?
Oh, it's a really long story.
Okay.
How long is the podcast?
Cliff Notes, 3 hours. Cliff Notes version.
Yeah. I'll try to cut out all the stuff in there and just hit the main points. So basically, I had a business throughout my 20s. Right out of university, I started a real estate business. And I grew it to where it was quite successful. I had about 100 agents and employees. I had 5 companies inside or under that umbrella. Everything was going great, you know, hockey stick growth every year. Then everything came collapsing down in 2009. And I'm not the only one. When you hear real estate in 2009 or 2008 in the States, I've heard similar stories, but everything collapsed and it was a spectacular failure, you know, like explosion. I went through a couple of years of, you know, in the wilderness, really dark times. And I'd never worked with a coach before in my life. I wasn't too familiar. I was familiar with the personal development world and all that other stuff, but had never worked with a coach. And when I was ready to get back on my feet, start a business, after I'd gotten help from several coaches and I became familiar with the processes and stuff, I thought, you know, I'm really sick of real estate, not enjoying it. What do I want to do? And coaching was it, you know, because I've always had a love for personal development. I didn't feel like I was restricted into my local sandbox here in Canada. I could work with anyone all over the world, and that's what I do. So that's in a nutshell. You know, it was early 2014. I jumped in, and actually coming up in a month or so, I'll be celebrating 8 years in business and coaching. So yeah, time flies.
Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
What's the biggest challenge you've had to overcome during that time, especially maybe even, I imagine, at the beginning when you're trying to grow your business?
Oh, boys. The biggest challenge, one of the big ones, was when I went through that business closure, I was getting kicked around really bad. You know, local media, former employees, people I didn't even know were all, you know, I was public enemy number one. So anyone who's had a business that was successful, that's collapsed, that's closed, I think that's going to hit your confidence, regardless of how much of a strong confidence that you have or defense is there. It's going to sting a little or a lot. And that was one of the things getting started for me, was that little voice in my head was thinking, who are you to help anyone with business, their business? You just went through this, you know, huge failure, embarrassing failure. And the way I swung it around and got past it was, I thought, you know, I had a lot more successful years than that little bad patch. But also I learned from all that. I know it's cliche to say what doesn't kill you only makes you stronger, but it's true. And I did learn a lot from it. So I think that's how I got past it. And the other thing, which, you know, full disclosure, was the need to eat and have a roof over my head and everything else. You know, I like money, which a lot of coaches are afraid to admit. You know, they can't ever admit out loud that they like the green stuff. I like money and I want to make a lot of money. So coaching was great, because I said, hey, I got something that's low overhead. You know, have a laptop and that, you don't need to be renting out office space and doing tons of advertising and stuff. So this is a great thing to jump into. And yeah, that's was my challenge, and that's how I got over it.
What do you, what gets you actually, you know, really excited about the work that you do now that you've been doing this for 8 years?
Yeah, I touched on it just a few minutes ago. I really like working with people from away, and I don't mean to crap on my fellow Atlantic Canadians, because there's some great people here. This part of the world isn't the most entrepreneurial. It can be a little closed-minded. We're not a big center. We're not Toronto in Canada. We're not, you know, New York. We're not LA or anything like that. So I found, and I always found this even real estate, that you had some small thinking. It was very closed-minded. And whenever I travel, well, pre-COVID, hopefully we'll be traveling again soon. But when I would go speak at events in California, or I was in North Carolina speaking at events and all over, I always came back and it felt very small here, but I was energized by all the people I met elsewhere, you know, with it. And I always had new ideas and I was firing all cylinders and couldn't sleep for days. I was so excited to put stuff into action. And so that's why I really, that's what gets me out of bed in the morning is if I was still in real estate and stuff, I'd be confined to this local sandbox. I wouldn't be talking to you right now. And I love that I'm not limited by geography. As long as I have internet, they have internet, we can connect, we can work together, we can partner, we can make money and help a lot of people. So,
yeah, I do love the fact that we live in this day and age, even though there's lots of challenges around, but the fact that we can, that I can see you, not only talk to you over the phone, but I can actually see you and so can others. And I've talked with people from all over the world for this podcast, which is really remarkable. So, actually, let me talk to you about the podcast. So how you've been doing that for now a few years as well. What keeps you doing it?
Yeah, it was November 2014 when I started. And as of today, we just released episode 750 or 751 today. So sorry, what keeps me going with that?
Yeah.
Well, it's part of the ecosystem. So, you know, I could still do business without a podcast, but it's definitely gotten me out in front of my target market, you know, and that's coaches with it. So the big three, and we've touched on all of them in this chat, that really I get most of my business from would be podcasting. So that's my show, Natural Born Coaches, and going out on shows like we're doing right now. There's the Facebook group, which is a big part of. There's almost 22,000 inside the Coaching Jungle group. And then finally, there's daily emails. So if I'm doing those three things, they're all in the ecosystem. They're my three pillars. I know that my business is going to be okay. And I still do other things, but those are really the big three with it. So podcasting, I'm a huge fan of. More people are jumping into it. It's definitely not going anywhere. It's not like, and I know I'll probably piss off some people if there's any Clubhouse fans here. Clubhouse appears to be on the decline after last year. Everyone was saying you have to be on Clubhouse. I don't see podcasts going that same direction. It's just growing and growing, and I expect it to continue. So yeah, I'm a huge fan of podcasting. I think more entrepreneurs should look at doing it.
Yeah, I definitely enjoy it. It's I've met so many amazing people from, you know, as I said, around the world, but from lots of different types of entrepreneurs, and I've talked to speakers and coaches and authors, and it's fascinating learning from different people. And so I know I really enjoy it, and that's why I'm glad to have been able to have you on the show today as well. Is there anything that I should have asked you about that I haven't yet that you think would be good to share with our audience?
Oh, boys. Well, we'll stay away from the hot button issues. Everyone's talking about Joe Rogan and Spotify and all that stuff, cancel culture. Don't get me started on that. So I think what I'll leave people with is something that I always stress to, especially new coaches, is I'm an optimistic person. I like to think I'm optimistic, but I think you have to have some realism, optimistic realism when you start a business. And whether it be coaching or anything. And what I'm finding in the online space is a lot of new coaches hop in drinking the Kool-Aid from the gurus. They're expecting to make $1 million in the first month, or, you know, working just a few minutes a day, and money's going to be rolling in while they sleep. And I'm not saying don't think big, but it's going to take some time and some rolling up your sleeves and some consistent effort before you can get to that. So I always advise new coaches I'm working with to go into it to be realistic, and then you don't get disappointed. Don't focus so much on the client part of it, because you can't always control that outcome, but could focus on the things you can control. So, you know, you're starting a podcast, just put out the best possible podcast you can. You can control that. Or if you're getting into emails, you commit to doing daily emails, then you're going to do them rain or shine every single day. You know, instead of saying, I'm going to make $1 million in a month, and, you know, you'll be disappointed when that doesn't happen. So it's all about the compound effect. Darren Hardy talked about, he has a great book with that title. If you're doing little things every single day, they can compound and turn into something quite special after time. So just get in there and do it. And yeah, be optimistically realistic.
That's a good expression. I like that. And consistency, I believe I'm hearing you say as well, is to, is to be consistent. And yeah, and it will pay off in the long run. So thank you so much for being here. If someone listening to you today you know, resonates, they want to be able to learn more about the coaching and maybe sign up to get your newsletter, what's the best way for someone to contact you?
Sure. So the main hub, naturalborncoaches.com, that'll find the podcast, everything I'm working on. They can get onto my email list there as well. The newsletter is at secretcoachclub.com. So secretcoachclub.com. With my Canadian accent, I had someone once that said, Mark, I went to the newsletter site and it's down. And I said, gee, that's weird. I checked it. I said, no, it's up. And they said, well, no, I went to secretcoachclub.com. It's not there. Mm-hmm. That's my Canadian accent. Apparently secret sounds like seeker or something. So I have to be very, you know, spell that out, secretcoachclub.com.
S-E-C-R-E-T. There you go. Yeah. And I'll have it in the show notes, folks.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And I really appreciate all the good work that you're doing and you know, keep up that excellent content. And I'm taking notes and working on improving my email frequency as well. And so well, if you don't mind, if I emulate you a little bit.
Good stuff. Well, thanks for the invite. And I appreciate you having me on the show.
All right. And thank all of you as well for watching on YouTube and for listening. And if you heard something today that you really enjoyed, and please leave us a review. You can go to either Apple or you can go to podchaser.com /live, love, engage. And we would really appreciate that. And because I read them all, I want to hear it. And until next time, as always, I encourage you to go out and live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically.
Did you know that a majority of entrepreneurs tend to discount the importance of their work? And a good number feel their success is simply due to luck. I know from personal experience that self-doubt can keep you from having the kind of life and business you desire. That's why I've created a free guide called Uniquely You, How to Move from Self-Doubt to Self-Love in 4 simple steps. To claim your free guide, go to liveloveengage.gift. That's liveloveengage.gift.